This is the Ultimate Advisor Podcast, the podcast for financial advisors who want to create a thriving, successful, and scalable practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your team, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to level up your advising practice, bring in more assets, and create the advising practice that you've dreamed of. You'll be joined by our hosts, Brian Sweet, who is moving fast towards $1 billion in assets under management. Brittany Anderson, the driving force for advisors looking to improve their operations and company culture. And Dre Redfern, who can help you systematize and automate your practice's marketing to effortlessly attract new clients. So, what do you say? Let's jump into another amazing episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the continuing Ultimate Advisor Coaching Podcast series designed for advisors who are committed to growing their practices and, more importantly, in my mind, growing both professionally and personally. Because in the end, it's all about the value that we provide to our clients. I'm John Moschitis. I'll be your host today. I'm part of the faculty at Ultimate Advisor Coaching, and this has been a tremendous ongoing series of podcasts from some of the leaders in our industry. Today's theme will be based upon value, and I'm delighted to have the leading expert on value creation in the country today, Leo Pusateri from Pusateri Consulting. Leo and I go back over 30 years, both having a personal relationship and a professional one. I've been a student of his teachings for many years. I happen to have in front of me his first book, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Am I the Most Valued of Them All? How do you differentiate yourself from a very crowded marketplace? So Leo, we're so happy to have you today. Your continued growth speaks for itself. So welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. Absolute pleasure to be here. And the work that you are doing is just phenomenal. It's going to change the lives and the careers of the people that are privileged to work with the four of you guys and your vision to make a difference. So congratulations to you folks as well.
Thank you. And I always look back very often, even at this stage of my career, on your seven-step value ladder, the questions that are in the minds of prospects and clients before they're really choosing to develop that deep relationship with you. And I think that was just such a great design that has helped so many advisors. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what went into your thinking when you put that together.
Well, it all started with my belief system, John. What I was running into after I started my company well over three decades ago now, and realized that this revolution of value was taking place, was being led by clients. It was causing a dilemma. These clients were changing. They were becoming more sophisticated. There was more complexity in their lives. And all this stuff was going on. And when the competitive options were being confronted, or folks like yourself had to figure out ways to just elevate your game, is to say, man, we got to get better. We've just got to eradicate this one illness that I call from all my travels globally, was I called winging it. And what were they winging? Were they winging the way to differentiate themselves, or to distinguish their teams and themselves? And I realized they needed to answer seven remarkably elegant, stunningly simple, John, but deceptively difficult questions to answer. Who are you? What do you do? Why do you do what you do? How do you do what you do? Who have you done it for? What makes you different? And why should we do business with you? And for each one of those questions, John, from my research, I realized there was some strategic rationale that these changing, more sophisticated clientele prospects looking for someone to entrust the oversight of their wealth planning to wanted answers to. And they ask you, who are you? Tell me more about your background of your organization, your team, yourself, to be able to do this and elevate your game. I mean, come on, look somebody in the eyes and net this out. When they ask you, John, what do you do? They want to know, what's your value proposition? in a different way, you've got to be able to open up your file drawer and pull out your compelling story, the beliefs that drive what you've learned from helping your best clients achieve their wealth goals. When they ask you how, they want to know what your process is, John. And look them in the eye. They want to know how many steps, if they're four, if they're five. They want to know where, you know, now I know who you are and what you do and why. How do I experience this? They want to know who some of your best clients are, or, you know, not to know confidentially names per se, but stories that mirror themselves, their companies, their families, whatever. When they ask you what makes you different, well, you better be on your game. It's like an umbrella, three ways, over your head. They want to know what makes your company different, your solutions, most importantly, you and your team, what you folks stand for, and ultimately, why should they do business with you? They're thinking this or asking it in one way, shape, form, or another. What's the real value? They want to know the impact, how you've measured the work that you've done for other like-minded clients over the years. So, John, seven questions, deceptively difficult, that I said, what I do is in my own ways to challenge serious, dedicated, committed professionals like the ones you're coaching to raise the volume, to elevate their game, to be more black belt, you know, Navy SEAL, Olympian, or a world-class entertainer. Someone who's gone from good to great to extraordinary in answering these questions to being their very best. And that's why I'm in business, to help people to be the best version of themselves, especially in the way they can differentiate themselves, to distinguish themselves, to compete on the philosophies of value. It all starts with those seven questions.
And Leo, the aha moment for me over the years has been, as you've indicated, people don't often directly ask you those questions.
Right,
It's incumbent on us to feel it and also to address it in our own respectful and tactful way, because that's how you, especially with new prospects, that's how you start to develop the long-term relationship.
That's exactly right, John. And you think about all the success you and your the leaders of Ultimate Advisor Coaching have had with Brian and Ron, for instance, the remarkable work that you've done in delivering value to your clients over the years. Many times a client scenario is like, you know, after an opening rapport or whatever, is, would you like me to take a couple minutes just to properly introduce myself and my team and our history and our proposition and what we've learned from working with people like yourself? And in many, you know, yeah, I'd like to hear that story. And it's funny how some advisors, John, over the years would say, no, Leo, it's not about me. It's about my clients. It's about them. And I say, yeah, I know you got two ears and one mouth, but it's a sign of professional respect. If someone's got $1 million, $10 million, $100 million, $1 billion multi-generational family, you better be darn well on your game to properly introduce yourself, to be able to talk about your story as it relates into a consultative Q&A with that prospect and family members. There's a little give and take. And at some point, you know, tell me more of what you're trying to accomplish or what are you trying to achieve. We're not teaching, John, people to be robots or mechanical or handcuffing them with, like, okay, I got to go who, what, why, and how, who, what, why in this order. I want you to be fluid. I want to feel like you got a imaginary file drawer cabinet and all these answers are in it. And like, whether you're pulling them from the cloud or from folders in my filing drawer cabinet behind me, you're opening them up on call, on demand, as you need them in a dialogue. And as you said, John, you picked it up, you know, expertly, that many times they're not going to say, well, why do you do what you do? But it might come up in a different way, where you might have, in your probing, found out that maybe they've lacked a financial plan, or if they've lacked someone to be more sensitive to the needs of their children, or they've lacked the requirements to talk philanthropically or other interests besides just their money per se. And you might open it up and pull one of those answers out. And that's when you get really, really good at this, John, is when you realize that the answers to those seven questions can help you to raise your confidence, John, to find more passion, just naturally, because you got your game in order. And it's like you feel like, you know, just you can come at me in any way you want, and I can just be, you know, in the mode with the client. I can be low key. I can stand. I can sit. I can be around a conference room table and know that at any time I've got prepared answers because I know my story so darn well that I'm just ready for any potential question that could come at me rather than feeling that sensation. And that's what we've done for skilled people like you and your partners in driving the Ultimate Advisor coaching curriculum.
Leo, why do you feel that even accomplished advisors have such a difficult time articulating their value properly? And you've often said you need to be able to do it with, I believe it's confidence, speed, passion. Those are some of
Yes.
the adjectives that you've used. Could you comment on that a bit?
Some people get comfortable, John. It's real easy. They get proud and plateaued. They become better. They think they're better than they really are. They start to make a few bucks. They have a few clients. They charge a fee. All of a sudden, they've got a quarterly hit coming in. And they say, hey, I've been through training in the past, or I don't know if I need to go through this again. I got a nice lifestyle in my community, and all things are well. Guys like yourself, and what I love about working with you and your study group, and the folks that have started Ultimate Advisor Coaching, is such a lifetime commitment to development, professional development. All of you guys are so committed to intellectual curiosity of becoming the best version of yourselves. You guys are an anomaly, quite honestly. There's a lot of folks like yourselves that have pretty much said, you know what, I've been there, done that, just I'm okay. I don't need to have somebody put a finger in my face and challenge me to be the best version of myself. I'm already doing well. And so they just reach a point of just comfort, John. And so I just like to work with people that are just, as I say, committed, dedicated, and serious about going from good to great, or great to extraordinary, where people get goosebumps in your presence, or they leave an office like yours and say, man, that team like John's put together with his organization, or Brian's or Ron's, these guys are just on their game and they're so committed to excellence. And so the people that you're training, I know that you're doing your best to raise the bar for them to make sure that they're elevating their ability to be excellent in their own way. But some people, John, they're just not as committed to the cause of being extraordinary or being their best. And that's just the, it's like that in any walk of life. And so I urge the people listening to this is to embrace what Ultimate Advisor Coaching is doing, because you and your partners in this business, endeavor of trying to impact the careers and the lives of other people, to be surrounded by the way you guys think and what you've learned is a remarkable opportunity to pick the brains of some people who are truly committed to excellence, as you guys are. So some people just aren't.
Yeah, and Leo, in your evolution, I believe one of the more valuable things you've created is helping advisors price their value properly and be able to, I don't want to use the term defend it, but at least be able to communicate properly how the fee was arrived upon and what people will receive for the relationship and the pricing metrics. So many of us are in the asset management business and have probably determined our pricing structure based upon others that we know, and we've just kind of fell into line. Can you comment a little bit on how you view the whole pricing thing as it relates to asset management and financial planning and the whole relationship?
Yeah. What we realized, John, after many years of partnering with folks like yourself, was that there was an eighth question. So we launched the seven questions of our value ladder. And think about the flow of this. Tell me, John, a little bit more about you and your team, your history, your emphasis, your value proposition, your beliefs, your process. I'm repeating myself, right? The successes, what makes you different, why people should do business with you. Guess what? There's an eighth question. There's another question. What's in the minds of people is like, geez, how much is this going to cost? I wonder if I give John my $1 million or $10 million or $50 million or $100 million or whatever, I wonder how they're going to charge for the value that they are talking to me about. And so that prompted us to literally to develop a whole nother program called Senior Value. And it builds on my thinking, John, that you first have to know your value. You've got to have those answers to those first seven questions. John, if you properly do not know your value, you're always going to have difficulty in pricing your value. And if you can't price your value, John, you're going to have difficulty in properly selling your value to do that. So knowing leads into pricing, pricing leads into selling. And as one of our, C-suite executives, CEO of one of our, the major global brands that we've been privileged to work with in North America says, if you lose control of your pricing, you start to lose control of your business. So what we've done in our pricing program is help advisors to look at the relationship, John, between value and the price that they charge. And I start with them with a quadrants to have them think about. If you think about a quadrant, if we drive, four different quadrants. And I challenge them to think about, geez, can you think of anything in your life that you purchased that didn't cost you a lot and you didn't get a lot of value from it? I get them out of the advisory business, right? The wealth advisory business to have some fun. Can you think of anything in the second quadrant, anything you purchased that, wow, it didn't cost you a lot, but you got a lot of value out of it? That's interesting, isn't it? What would that might be? Well, in my case, it's my iPad or maybe our phone or something like this. Can we go to another area and see, can you think of something in your life you paid a lot of money for, but you didn't get a lot of value out of it? This is like, I remember that. My God, I don't know if I would do that again. And then the last one is like, can you think of something you paid a lot of money for and you got tremendous value out of it? Maybe an experience with your family, a trip, my daughter's wedding, your daughter's wedding, something that we've done, this an experience with our clients or something like this. And I get people to think about, plot yourself. Where are you in your business? If someone left your wealth management office, where would they plot you in one of those quadrants? Are you low price, high value? Are you high price, not a lot of value? Are you high price, high value? Or which quadrant do you want to move into in the next 1 to 3 years? Now we say, well, plot yourself. Think about the value you provide, the price you charge, how people perceive it. And John, what's come out of this is some phenomenal discussions of helping individuals like yourself, as skilled as you are, with your, decades of experience and success, it's still challenging you to think about your best clients and how your pricing strategy aligns to your value proposition, because it should nourish your strategy for how you think and the people you want to attract going forward. And so we get advisors to think about their emotions regarding pricing. What challenges, concerns, frustrations, opportunities, needs do you have? We get them thinking. We introduce the concept of pricing power, and it's led by, educated thinking around, geez, my God, what do I mean by that? Is that, do you have something that's, differentiated that you can do that? Is there, that's one way of, you get pricing power. It's about differentiation. You can prove elements of uniqueness or competitive advantages that your wealth management practice brings to the table that maybe someone else down the street doesn't offer. The way you do planning, the way you integrate certain elements of the way you think with risk and, insurance as it relates to broader investment decisions, what? So is there something you're doing that's highly differentiated? Is there something based on scarcity? Meaning, hey, you're at a level now, you only work with 100 clients. Or these, there are 250 clients, or whatever the number is, and there's only so much you do, and there's a level. Or the third one, John, is provable value. You can look at a prospect that's coming in, a business owner, let's say, and they got a 401k requirement, or they got other needs, they got an upcoming liquidity event, they got other issues relative to their family, and that there's provable value of similar scenarios in your client success folders of the numbers that you have to say, we've done this before for individuals and families like yourself. And yeah, there is an investment. Yeah, there is a cost associated with our services, where all of a sudden, John, you're going forward in your chair rather than going backwards, say, oh my God, here comes the pricing question again. You're feeling good about it because you know how you save maybe millions of dollars for some of your best clients. Yeah, you need to pay us $10,000 a year, or $50,000, or $100,000, or $250,000. And it's aligned to the justification of the value we will deliver to you. And we've done it for other individuals or families or companies like yours. So pricing, John, gets into a lot of categories like that. And then we've coined a term called pricing integrity. And we coach advisors to get comfortable getting these words off the tip of your tongue. And pricing integrity is threefold, that there's fairness to that client, fairness to the individuals or solutions that you are bringing in, and fairness to the overall organization that you work through to do this, that the pricing is consistent. So you can go to a cocktail party at your country club and run into 10 of your clients, hypothetically, in an event and realize if they were talking about you on the side and if pricing, you know, if it came up, that you're feeling that there's consistency in you, that you're not thinking, oh my God, I gave that guy a big break. I gave them a discount. I gave them, that was a deception, and that there's transparency. And so I like to get people when they say, well, geez, how much is this going to cost us now? And I like to say, well, the best part regarding a potential partnership with us is the way we priced our value. We believe this is quite honestly the best part. Or if someone starts questioning you on this and saying, well, John, this is a lot of money. I didn't think it was going to cost me 1% or more, or you're going to price the plan separately than the investment work and stuff. This is adding up. And to say, you know, really, when you really look at this, that we really feel quite honestly, and we'll sit down and prove this to you, that we're, when you look at all the metrics and the numbers and the work and the value we've delivered to your family, we're quite honestly underpriced. And the only way you can get to that point, John, is we've come up with a methodology. We call it the Real Value Audit. And it's a methodology of helping advisors to quantify their value in preparing themselves for strategic decisions. I've got a coaching call with an advisor group here tomorrow. They've got a client, $20 million. They got opportunity for another $10 million. And the client is looking for new pricing. And so the first thing we're doing with this team is putting them through a quantifying your value exercise, a real value audit, to prepare them for a meeting next week in California with this client that they've got. They don't want to lose the client. Is it all connected? So we make sure when we're coaching teams that we cross the T's and dot the I's. So I want people just feeling like the highest level of like, we are so on top of our game. And John, I hate to say it, or I'm sad to say, I should say, it's better use of words here. Some people just don't take it as seriously as they need to, and they wing it.
Really well said. And these are thoughts that I'm confident go through the minds of all advisors, irrespective of what level of experience you have, because we all struggle with how to price and how to communicate and how to continue to provide value, especially as you get into a more affluent marketplace. So really well said, Leo. And your latest work, which I was lucky enough to go through last year, which was the most important part of life, is living your value, right? So we talked a little about the Project You experience. And I was in a group of 15, and it was directed at people that have had an element of success in their lives and were starting to do that inner reflection on the important parts of life, what was next, how to impact and perhaps live your legacy during your lifetime as opposed to just leaving it behind. So can you comment on that experience, please?
Yeah. I mean, that one just makes me glow, John, at a different level. That's like the epitome to me of my life's work and my calling, based on feedback I received over the last few decades from successful advisors like yourself. When they went through the introspection of thinking about their businesses and how to differentiate themselves and their firms, their teams and things, as they were going through our methodology, people start pulling me aside, John. They say, Leo, you're making me think well beyond my wealth management practice. You're making me think about who I am. I'm not only just a business owner, I'm an advisor within a successful team here, or the owner of a practice, serving clients and delivering comprehensive financial planning or investment management work. I'm a father. I'm a mother. I'm a husband. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a son. I'm a grandfather. I'm a grandmother. I'm a community member. And they started saying, "You're making me think well beyond the work I'm providing to clientele. How do I become the best version of myself?" And as I've gone from survival, a lot of people that you're coaching, those early folks that are trying to get the direction from you and your partners, I said, we go from survival, those first few years, the hard years of really making it work, to some sense of security. My gosh, we've closed down a few clients. We've got some assets that are building up. We're being called now for future opportunities. Guess what? I got married. I bought the car I wanted. We bought a house, had our first kid. Survival to security to success. And at some point, John, the issues of significance come into play, where guys like yourself realize what a journey you've been on. And you're so committed to not just excellence in your practice, but excellence in your life. There's issues that hit us in a tipping point. It finally hit me and said, I'm going to do something about something I've always wanted to do. I've helped advisors to know their value, to price their value, to sell their value. The ultimate now was to help them and their clients, John, valued clients of yours that are going through retirement, life issues, longevity, aging, whatever you are dealing with in your confidential discussions with your clients. And I said, they want discussions to center around significance or regrets or abundance, gratitude, perspective, being the best version of themselves. As you said, living your legacy. And so we created the next big project that you experience off of one of my book projects, affectionately named as well, Your Next Big Project Is You. So, John, I feel like I'm living my legacy, quite honestly, by being privileged to have guys like you, other individuals attend our cohorts now, surrounded by, 10 to 15 other like-minded folks. And as you said, call it what you want. What's next? Second mountain, second half, third period, fourth quarter, next season. I know there's people all over the globe with their own interpretation of what they're doing, and I applaud them because they're onto something that we're onto as well. Just our version is called Your Next Big Project Is You, and it's designed to pull the zipper down on your chest to reach in to touch your heart and soul. After we've already done it on business introspection and personal introspection to define yourself, now we're doing it for you personally to do it, to become the best version of yourself. So you can become, looking back on this, that you know that you're on a pathway of truly making a difference in the lives of others beyond just managing their wealth to do this. And so that's where my heart is these days. And, looking to impact young advisors, because some advisors have said to me, geez, I love Leo's work, but I'm not ready for this yet. And I said, well, what point do you think you're going to be ready? I said, are you ready to talk to clients that are 55 or 65 years old right now? Are you talking to them right now? Are you having conversations with people like that? Are you just talking to them about investment management? About asset allocation, diversification, money managers, mutual funds? Is that all you're talking to them about? Do you think they have issues as a 55-year-old person dealing with a liquidity event, selling their company? Do you believe that 65-year-old person is thinking about the next decade of their life? Are you talking to them about issues important to them, their heart, their soul, their families? Are you not? I said, so at what point are you telling me you're not ready for this until you are that age? Or you think by being prepared to think about how this can add to your arsenal, another arrow in your quiver, in your probing, your questioning techniques to pull it out on call demand in a conversation will help you to be a better advisor? John, I'm sorry, I'm biased. I do. I don't think you should wait till you're 55 or 65, as some of our clients first said. And it's being proven by my largest corporate institutional client, where they're now sending younger leaders to the program because They said, if we can help them to be the best version of themselves, they're going to be a better leader, manager, and coach in our organization. And it's funny, John, when I've been doing this now, and after thinking back, it's funny how value propositions change. And I urge advisors to think about this as a summary point. When I wrote my first value proposition, and I've coached thousands of advisors around the globe on developing their story, as you know. And I said, geez, we empower organizations and individuals to discover, articulate, and to capitalize on their unique value. And then the more I put my mask on, the more I talk about the principles behind me, I said, no, our proposition needs to change because we have made a meaningful and significant difference in the lives of advisors, in their clients, in helping them to not only to build better practices, to distinguish themselves, to differentiate themselves, but now to lead lives with significance and to live their legacies now. So I urge the folks that you are coaching and training to think differently about their value. And it's not just trying to get their clientele base, built up, but to think about asking better questions, to be more curious, to be more mindful, to elevate their discussions beyond just investment management, or to think like, oh my God, there's another $2 million. I got a chance to bring this in. If I charge 1%, holy cow, there's another 20 grand right there. To stop thinking to a degree about that and thinking about how they can change someone's life, how they can bring value to someone's life. And the more they think like that, the clients and the prospects will feel your genuine interest to change and to make a meaningful difference in the lives of other people. Leave the candy or some of your solutions in your back pocket a little longer. Don't you need to talk about that investment management, the design or the mutual fund or the insurance product or what you're thinking? Dig deeper. Ask some more questions about their future, how they visualize it, what's important to them, what significance means to them. Bring these questions into your arsenal and the other stuff will come along. Someone just said to me recently, said, some of our people need some help with a closing skills program, or could you help them? I said, they don't need help with closing. They need help with selling. They need help with being a better advisor. Because, John, my best clients, your best clients, knowing you, they close me and they close you. They don't look for you to say, per se, well, so what do you think? They literally say, John, we're comfortable. We're ready to go. Or they look at me and they say, Leo, are you available in these upcoming dates? We'd like to proceed. Your best clients will close you without you even having to ask for it if you've done your job of knowing pricing, selling, and living your value correctly. I can't say it any better than that.
Yeah, and you hit on such a critical point. I find at this stage of my career with my existing clients and new folks that I'm meeting, and folks that have affluence, sometimes the less I talk about the steps of our financial planning or investment management process, and the more we talk about life, important life events in the next chapter, in having experiences in health and longevity and the legacy and helping develop your kids to be a good steward of the wealth as opposed to talking about the process. This is how you engage people in such a way intellectually that it's just a logical conclusion that they're going to choose to do business and close us. So you couldn't have said that any more perfectly. Thank you for sharing those with us. And for those in the listening audience today, as you think about your professional development, please recognize it's not always about the X's and O's of looking at a portfolio and putting the right asset allocation together. It's about connecting with people on a level where they know that you care. They know that you have a heart. They know that you have experience. They know that you're going to be there for them in a time of need, and you become a go-to person for them in so many aspects of their life because our business is unique in that the experiences that we have, not a lot of people have, and to share those with those that are looking to you for guidance is just so valuable. And you heard it from the master today. So, Leo, thank you for being with the Ultimate Advisor Coaching Podcast program today. Enjoy your material very much and continued success to you and your team.
Thank you, John, and continued success to you and all the best to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Bye, everyone. Have a great remaining part of your day.
Hey there, Brittany Anderson here. If you are loving what you're hearing on our Ultimate Advisor podcast, don't keep us a secret. Share us with other advisors that you think would benefit from the messages that you are hearing. The easiest way to do that is to simply send them to ultimateadvisorpodcast.com. And if you want to learn a few other ways that we could potentially serve you as an advisor, go check out ultimateadvisormastermind.com. As always, we are so happy to have you here with us as part of the Ultimate Advisor community, and we look forward to a continued relationship.